Hello, this is Eddie Duke. Welcome to the weekly podcast at Panther Creek Baptist Church. You know, Jesus Christ is an amazing person. As I look at our culture today, I'm convinced the absolute only hope for this world in which we live is Jesus Christ. And every week, I will introduce you to messages that will communicate this hope that we have in Christ. I'm thankful that you've taken the time to catch us here this week. It means a lot to me that you would tune in, and I would love to hear from you. And now, here is this week's broadcast. If you have your Bibles again, Exodus 15, verses 22 through 27, we've been talking about this series on prayer this year. And what we've been looking at is that we want to see Jesus through our prayers. We want to see Jesus in prayer. And we got these little wristbands that we've got that we're carrying around. And on there, there's four letters, P-R-A-Y, pray. And we're breaking down every one of these letters. Now, the first letter, if we're going to pray better, if we're going to learn more about prayer, the first letter means praise, because it's really going to help our prayer life if we understand who it is that we are praising to. And so over the past several weeks, we've been looking at God and understanding more about God. And even last week, we talked about, you know, the name God, you see the name God. But underneath that name, there are several layers to God that we need to really understand. And the first layer that we talked about last week was Jehovah Yireh. Now, that's in the Hebrew, but in the Hebrew language, they don't pronounce the letter J as we do. And so if we looked at that in our language, it would be Jehovah Jireh, and it means the Lord will provide. Isn't it cool that God provides even before we even know that there's a need? And we talked about that last week, that He is Jehovah Jireh. Well, today and this week, we're going to see the next layer of God is that He is Jehovah Rapha, which means the Lord who heals. And so I want to read that again in verses 22 through 27. It says, "Then Moses led Israel on from the Red Sea, and they went out to the wilderness of Shur. They journeyed for 3 days in the wilderness without finding water. They came to Marah, but they could not drink the water at Marah because it was bitter. That is why it was named Marah." Marah means bitterness. "The people grumbled to Moses, 'What are we going to drink?' So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. When he threw it into the water became drinkable. The Lord made a statute, an ordinance for them in Marah, and he tested them there. He said, 'If you will carefully obey the Lord your God, do what is right in his sight, pay attention to his commands and keep all his statutes, I will not inflict any illnesses on you that I inflicted on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you, Jehovah Rapha.'" Then verse 27 says, "Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs and 70 date palms, and they camped there by the water." But today I did want to talk a little bit about, again, Jehovah Rapha, and looking at the God who heals, the God who heals. You know, 6 years ago, there was a lady by the name of Cecilia Jimenez. And maybe, I'm sure you heard this story. Cecilia goes to church. She lives in Borja, Spain. And she goes to church there, and there was the museum in town that came to the church that she attends, and they really were taken by a portrait, a painting that the church had, and it was called Ecce Homo. And it was a painting of what people believe Jesus Christ. I know we don't know what he looks like, but that was the actually, this was the painting. I think we have it here. So this is the painting of that was on the wall there in that church. And so they got a hold of the descendants, the artists that drew, this is about 100 years old, on the wall of that church, and they got a hold of them. And so the descendants, the granddaughter of the artist who painted this, said, "You know what? I will donate that. If you can arrange for removing it from the wall, taking that portion of the wall down and moving it to the museum, I'm going to donate that to you." But by the time they actually saw it, over the years, you know how things happen, this painting had deteriorated. And so by the time they actually saw it, this is what it looked like. And it was kind of just deteriorating and chipping away. Cecilia, bless her heart, she is an artist. And she was about 80 years old. She's 86 today. But she was about 80 years old when this happened. She went to the priest of the church, and she said, "Hey, would it be okay with you if I just restored this, if I fixed this up and kind of painted this before they removed it and took it to the museum, would it be okay?" And how many of us have had this happen to us before? We start doing something, we make a mistake, and then we try to fix that mistake. And the more we try to fix it, the worse it gets. And bless her heart, that's what happened to Cecilia. After she was finished, this is what it looked like. And maybe you heard about this story. When the museum came back to retrieve it, this was it. And oh my goodness, it looks nothing like what it originally did. A 100-year-old painting was completely ruined. Now this has a good ending to the story. If you followed that town lately, you know this town has experienced a revival economically. Tourists that are coming to this town all the time because they want to see this big mistake that was made in this restoration project. And so it's really turned out to be a good thing, but at the time it was very humiliating. And the reason why is because when people do restoration projects, when people bring things back and restore, they want it to at least look like the original, or even better than the original. That would be great. And this so did not happen, did it? You expected one thing, and you got something completely different. I want you to keep that in mind, because as we look at this story, this is exactly what has happened and what has taken place in this story. Because we have the people of Israel. The people of Israel have come out of Egypt. They have been freed from bondage. Moses has led them out. He led them to the Red Sea, and they got to the Red Sea and didn't know what to do, but God performed a miracle. And the Red Sea parted, and the Bible said they walked across on dry land. Can you imagine what it was like to get on the other side of the Red Sea and see nothing but blue skies and know that God has a land for them? How freeing that must have been. Well, let me tell you, that is exactly what the salvation experience is with us when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But because before we were with Christ, we are in bondage to sin. But Jesus Christ frees us from that, and there are nothing but blue skies ahead. But that doesn't mean that dark clouds won't come back. That doesn't mean we won't sin. And this is really what the people of Egypt found, or people of Israel, that found out. As they were crossing the wilderness, they got into 3 days. 3 days as they're traveling, they have no water. And they begin to get very thirsty. Can you imagine what that must have been like to begin to travel in 3 days? Friday night, or Saturday, yesterday, I worked for 3 hours without water. And man, I was dying, you know. But for 3 days, I tell you what, Larry Morris is a taskmaster. We had the work day this past week. And yesterday, he just had us painting on those rails, painting and painting and painting. It got so bad that at one point, I looked at Larry and I said, Larry, I've got to have a break. You've got to help me out. My shoulder is killing me. He looked at me and said, do you have to go to the ER? And I said, no, I don't think so. And he said, well, then you can get back to work. So I went back to work. And I saw Ron over here digging the ditch. And so I said, you know what, I'm going to sneak away. I still had my paintbrush in hand. I snuck down there to the ditch and I said, Ron, can I help you out? And he said, Eddie, I got all the help I need right now. I said, well, who's helping you? He said, nobody's helping me. I'm just working by myself, but that's really all the help I need. I don't need your help. So I couldn't even go help Ron. But I was so thirsty, and that's the way the people were. They had been traveling for 3 days, and finally, they get to a place where there's springs. They get to a place that looks like an oasis. There's palm trees there. There's date trees there. And they said, finally, we get to a place where we can have a drink. Hey, you know what that's like? When you come to a place that you're finally going to get relief, and it's not exactly what you think. I think Mara isn't just about the water. Mara is about a destination. Because it represents the times in our life that we've gone to turn on that faucet expecting to have clean, drinkable water, and it's something completely unexpected. It's something that wasn't there at all. How many times does that happen to us in our lives? We put our trust in a relationship with someone, and we believe that this person is going to be somebody we can count on, and it doesn't work out that way. We believe that the money we have coming in is going to cover the bills that we have for the coming month. And it doesn't work out that way. We believe that when we go to the doctor, we're going to hear a good report. And it doesn't work out that way. It is about a destination. Sometimes we arrive at a place and it's totally not what we expected. And that was where Mara was. They arrived thinking that they were going to have drinking water, and it was just filled with mineral salts. It was that sulfur water. It smelled bad, it tasted bad, and it was really bad for their health. When we come to a place in our life where we're really disappointed, when we've got disappointments, when we're disheartened, when this was not what we expect, what should we do at that point? Well, the first thing that we need to do is we need to listen to God. Look with me here at verse 25. Verse 25 says, so he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, When he threw it into the water became drinkable. We need to listen to the one who heals us. Listen to the one who heals us. Last year, it was about this time last year that I went to the doctor, and the last time I'd gone to the doctor was 4 years ago. 4 years. And as I'm sitting talking with the doctor, he did something that I completely didn't expect. He looked at me and he said, "Eddie, it's been a while since you've been here, so let's review." I think that was kind of a nudge that, hey, you should have come back a long time ago, but it's been a while since you've been here, so let's review what I last told you, what our last conversation was. He said, "Now, I told you that you needed to do this. Did you do that?" And I said, "Oh, thank you. That's right. No, I didn't. I did not do that." And then he looked at me at something else. He said, "Okay, for 6 months, you were supposed to do this. Did you do that?" "No, I didn't do that either." "No, I didn't do that." And then you know what he did? He yelled at me. I mean, he didn't raise his voice, but boy, he scolded me for 10 minutes. That's a long time in a doctor's office to have a doctor really fussing at you for what you did. He said, "I told you these things for a reason." And then at the end of the visit, he summed it up like this. He said, "Okay, we're going to meet again in 6 months. Between now and then, you're going to do this." And I said, "Yes, I am." He said, "You're going to do this." And I said, "Yes, I am." And guess what? Between that time and my next visit, I did exactly the things that he told me to do. Because here's what I found, that you need to listen to the one who wants to make you better. You need to listen to people who want to make you well. And the same is true with God. We need to listen to the one who heals. I've been a pastor for a long time. And here's what I've come to find to be true about all of us here in this room right now. This is true of all of us. You know why we get ourselves into trouble? You know why we get ourselves in the predicament that we get ourselves in? Because we stop listening to God's word. We stop listening to the things that God has told us in his word. And then we wonder, how in the world did I get here, George? I tell you how we got here. Because we stopped listening to God's word. We need to listen to the one who heals. Not only do we need to listen to the one who heals, we need to obey the one who heals. Obey the one who heals. Look with me at verse 26. He said, "If you will carefully obey the Lord your God." Here's how we can obey God when we come to situations like Mara and we didn't expect this and we're really disappointed and we're really disheartened at what is going on in our life. The first thing that we need to do is stop looking at ourselves. The first thing that we need to do here this morning is, in order to continue to obey God, is to not take it personally. You know, the first thing, one of the first things that we want to do when things go bad in our life is to say, "Why me? Why in the world is this happening to me?" And I know it's hard to not take it personally when this is your finances, when this is your relationship, when this is your job, when this is your life and the things that are going on in your life. I know it's hard not to take it personally. But the first thing that we need to do is don't take it personally. As we're following God, it is about God. We need to continue to focus and keep our eyes upon him. Don't take it personally. The second thing that we need to do is don't blame others. In order to obey God, don't blame others. I know this is a natural thing we want to do too. We want to say, you know what? It's Moses' fault. We never would have come to this place if Moses hadn't led us here. We want to say about other people, if they just had not given me that advice, if they just had not led me here, I never would have come to this place. But we can't blame others. And I know it's easy, especially when people criticize us. We want to retaliate. We want to fire back, you know, and we do that. We learn that in elementary school, don't we? In elementary school, we learn to say things like this. When somebody says something to us, we want to come back and say, "Well, this is how we did it in Ohio County anyway." We said, "Hey, same to you and more of it." Did you do that? And you know what that person then says? "Well, same to you and double more of it." And then you come back with, "Same to you and triple more of it." And then they come back with, "Well, same to you and infinity more of it." And until Buzz Lightyear came along, I thought that was it. I didn't think you could go past infinity, but I learned you can go beyond infinity. And so we know, you know, we can keep coming back, and we go back and forth and go back and forth, and it never resolves anything. So that as we follow God and as we obey God in times that we're disappointed, don't take it personally, don't blame somebody else, and instead, what did Moses do? The Bible says that Moses cried out to the Lord. Take it to God. You know, one of the best things that I've learned to do is this. verse 25. I've learned, verse 25, that when disappointing things happen to me in life, when disheartening things happen to me in life, I've learned to do exactly what God told Moses to do. Take that wood and put it in the water, and it's going to make it sweet. Take that wood and put it in the water, and it's going to make it sweet. Now, let me tell you what that means. That means when I look at all the problems in my life, when I look at all the challenges of my life, I need to look at the cross. The piece of wood that Jesus Christ was crucified on, put that in my life, and it becomes sweet. All the problems, all the challenges that I'm now facing really start to fade away in light of what Jesus Christ has done for me. The fact that there is one who loves us, all of us, so much that he died for us to ensure that even when we have bad things happen, he is working to the good for those who love him and follow him. We need to remember that. Take that piece of wood, put it in your life, and the water becomes sweet. Take it to the Lord. There's one final thing that we need to do, and that is we need to encourage each other from We need to encourage each other from the one who heals. If you look at verse 27 says they came to a place called Elim. Elim was a place where they had springs. Elim was a place where they had date trees. Elim was a place that the Bible says they camped there by the water. Why did they camp there? Because that was where they were encouraged, because God had brought refreshment. God had brought encouragement to them. I want to close with a Mother's Day story. This is a Mother's Day story. As we've been packing, I've shared with you, I think last week, I didn't actually find that in a box. But this week, I actually found something in the box that I can use. Because this week, Lisa had boxed up some stuffed animals. And I believe this bear is about 30 years of age. I believe this bear is older. And let me tell you a little bit about this bear. When Lisa and I first got married, we were married for 7-8 years, and we could not have children. We couldn't. We went to doctors. We tried the adoption process. I want to tell you, I know how difficult this day is for people sometimes when they've lost a child or when they don't have children. Sometimes this can be very hard because well-meaning churches can make, and it is, it's about moms, but you know, when people are struggling, it hurts. It's very painful. And so year after year, we went through that, and we got close to adopting several times, and just nothing. You know, as a matter of fact, the last time that we failed in the adoption process is when we were in Alaska. We were getting ready to be honorably discharged from the service, and a social worker had called that we'd been working with, and she said, "We have a child for you." And we were willing to stay in Alaska for a little while longer just to go through this process. So we went through the process. You know, we had all the home visits, and we visited other people in their homes and went through this whole process. And about a month before we were supposed to be discharged, the whole thing fell apart. Just devastating. We've had that happen several times where we were just hurt. And I want to tell you, after that happened, I told Lisa, I said, let's go to Sears. Now for us, we would always go to Sears. I know it may sound kind of strange, but we'd always go to the baby section. We'd walk through where the strollers were. We'd walk through where the carriers were. We'd smell the baby lotion. You know, we'd smell, see all the sights and sounds of babies. You know, torture. Why do we do that? But we just believed that one day it was going to happen. And there was this bear sitting there. And I said, "Lisa, I'm going to buy that bear." And she said, "Eddie, don't do it." I said, "No, I want to buy that bear." And I bought the bear. We brought it back out in the car. I took it out of the bag. And I said, "Lisa," I didn't know a lot about the Bible then, hardly anything at all. I didn't know anything about Mara. I didn't know anything about Elim. But I said, "Lisa, let me tell you something. I don't want this to define our marriage. I really don't. We've been married 8 years now, and this is all we've done. This is all we've talked about. I don't want this to define who we are. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But you know what this bear represents? Lisa, this bear represents that we're going to believe that in whatever God has for us ahead, whatever God wants for us, that's what we're going to do. And this bear represents that we're not going to be defined by this. We're going to be defined by what God wants us to do." We got discharged from the Air Force a little over a year after we bought this bear and changed our whole perspective. We brought our son Seth home from the foster home and adopted him. And the rest is history. This became Seth's first toy. This became his first stuffed animal that we gave to him as a result of God's faithfulness, as a result of God taking us from Mara to Elam. Now, I want to close with this. I know some of the things that are going on in your lives, and I know they're a big deal. I'm not minimizing at all the things that you're experiencing. I know it's overwhelming. So please understand what I'm saying. I know it's hard, but I believe one of the mistakes that sometimes we make as Christians is we stay at Mara, and we let Mara define who we are. We stay in that place of bitterness. We stay in that place of disappointment. We stay in that place of disheartening. I believe God has the message that he has for you today is this. It's time to rise up from Mara and go to Elam. It's time to see a God who heals. It's time to see a God who restores. No matter what you've got going on right now, I believe that it needs to be defined by what God wants to do at Elam and not where you are at Mara. One more thing, I'm sorry. I keep saying I'm going to close with this, but I never close with this. Archaeologists tell us today that they know the exact locations from Mara to Elam. They know exactly where they are. If you Google it, you can find on a map exactly where Mara and Elam are. And do you know the distance between these two locations is 5 miles? 5 miles is what separates bitterness from God's blessing. 5 miles. I mean, that's a walk to Cracker Barrel and back. We could drive that, certainly. We could ride a bike. Some of us could run. I mean, Phil Heiser could run that. You know, we could get from Cracker Barrel to back. That's 5 miles. That's how close we are right now to God who will heal and restore you. Hey, this is Eddie Duke, pastor at Panther Creek Baptist Church. I hope this message was a blessing for you today. I want to let you know that we here at Panther Creek are a small church that are looking to make a big impact on our neighbors in our community with the love of Christ. If you're looking for a church home with which to serve and connect with, we would love to have you join us on Sunday mornings at 9:30 for Sunday school and 10:30 for church. We'd also love to have you join us on Sunday evenings at 6:30. But if you can't join us, we hope you'll tune in every week and listen to us. Have a fantastic day.